Good evening. Good evening. There is a very strong undercurrent running through this sanctuary tonight. Very strong undercurrent running through this sanctuary tonight. It's an undercurrent of people who strongly desire to wish our bishop a happy birthday. There's only one person in here who doesn't want that. But we're going to do it anyway. You know why? Because we love him so much. And we're so grateful for all that he has done. In fact, I was thinking while he was commenting and commending Jenny and those who are losing weight, how many people there are in this sanctuary right now who owe to him the fact that they have lost so much weight. I mean, I'm one of them. There are so many people in this sanctuary right now who owe to him the faith that they had to overcome sickness, disease, infirmity, learning to trust God, learning to, you know, why would we not celebrate someone who has impacted our lives that greatly? Sorry if it's, you know, uncomfortable for you, Bishop, but once in a while we got to do stuff that's uncomfortable. So, yay, God, we're going to sing happy birthday to our beloved Bishop. Jeannie, go ahead.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Bishop. Happy birthday to you.
You know, when I was in college, it was a few days ago, when we sang happy birthday to someone, we did it in the dining hall. And when we were done singing happy birthday, we sang, round the table, you must go, you must go. And they had to get up and walk around all the tables in the dining hall. Aren't you glad we're not in college, Bishop? All right. Oh, it was fun, except unless you were the one who had to do the walking around the table. Okay, so anyway, we do love you, Bishop, and thank God for you in our lives. Many, many more. So event or harvest might be a kind of a puzzling title, but it's not. What we're talking about tonight is the fact that everything that happens in your daily life, so if you stop for a minute and think of all the things that happened in your day-to-day, today, everything that happens in our daily life is a seed that will produce some kind of harvest. You may think it was a simple event, just one of those things, but it was not. It's an event. It is something in your life in which you planted a seed and you will reap a harvest, good or bad, depending on what it was. It's the principle of sowing and reaping or planting and harvest that runs all the way through the Bible. So tonight we want to become more aware, hear me, of the seeds we are planting in our life by all the little things we do and say and think every day, okay? Because I don't think you or I could count if you realize that every thought, every word, every action is a seed. I don't think you could count how many seeds you planted today. One kernel of corn put in the ground will raise up one stalk of corn. Only one. There aren't hardly ever any twins. But that one stalk of corn will have three or four, or in a really bountiful year, even 5 ears of corn on that one stalk. Every ear of corn has approximately 800 kernels of corn on it. How do I know all this stuff? We raised corn. We harvested corn. We shucked the ears, the kernels of corn off the ears. 800 of them. So if you have 3 or 4 ears of corn, you have 2,400, 3,200 seeds. And you probably planted that many today. At least 800. Without knowing it, you were planting seeds. In the era when I grew up, and Bishop talked about that, was back when they were inventing the wheel and when fire was first being discovered, as he was teasing me Sunday. But it was a long time ago. And life was a lot different than it is now. In the era when I grew up, most everybody understood planting and harvesting. In the community where I lived, which was a farming community, everybody I knew either was a farmer, owned a farm, had been a farmer, worked on a farm, or had a backyard garden behind their house in town, because everybody needed to plant and have a harvest to survive. There was no such thing as worldwide transportation of food and vegetables. You ate what you grew or the people in your local area grew, or might have been shipped from one state away. Well, at Christmas time, oranges were always shipped up from Florida. That was the big, everybody looked forward to Christmas because here came oranges from Florida. But essentially, you ate what you grew. I remember, clearly remember, that January and February were seed catalog months. Anybody ever seen a seed catalog? The seed catalogs started coming right after Christmas, and they were as exciting to my parents as the Sears and Roebuck Christmas catalog, the wish book, the toy catalog for kids was to us. And it really was, because they had to choose what seeds they were going to plant. January and February were choosing them out of the catalog, ordering them so that they arrived by March or April, depending on what the seed was, so you could plant it to have a harvest in August, September, October. And they spent as much time and as much energy poring over those seed catalogs as we kids did over the toy catalog. Because my father knew he had to wisely choose what seeds he was going to put in the ground so that we would have appropriate harvest for the next summer and even 2 summers, because he did crop rotation. My mother, oh, she loved those seed catalogs, and she was picking out what kind of vegetables and things she was going to plant to put food on the family table. And we had a huge backyard garden. It was probably bigger than this room. And if you think about that, you know we kids did a lot of gardening when we were little. And then she had a flower garden where she planted flowers that she knew would bloom at various times through the year, so that she always had a profusion of beautiful blooms to cut and bring in the house and put on the table to add cheer to the house. So when those catalogs came, those were exciting days for them. Everything centered around the harvest. The planting was done with harvest in mind. What was that movie? Secondhand Lion. In the movie Secondhand Lion, a seed salesman stopped by the farm and sold these guys a very large bundle of seed packets. And the seed packets were labeled corn, beans, peas, carrots, broccoli, tomatoes. And as they planted the seeds diligently in rows, as I knew how to do, at the end of each row, they put the name of the plant on a stake. We did that. But a couple of weeks, well, like let's say 3 or 4 weeks later, as all the plants were coming up, they noticed that they all looked pretty much alike. And within a month, they realized that every seed they had planted, no matter what the packet said, was corn. Oh, yeah. So they had a huge field of corn. Why? Because if you want something other than corn, you're going to have to plant something other than corn. You will never get a tomato from a corn seed. You have to plant tomatoes. You know that. So apply that principle to your life. What kind of a harvest do you want in your life? Because those are the seeds you have to plant every day. If you're in a situation and you get angry and you fly off the handle, you just planted a seed you don't want to reap. If you have an opportunity to do good to someone and you pass it by and God is saying, do that, and you're going, I ain't going to do that. I ain't got time, I'm too tired. You just planted a seed you don't want to reap. Everything that happens, every word you speak in your daily life is a seed. If I say, oh, I'm coming down with a cold, I think I'm going to be sick. Oh, God. If I think it and then I add my words to it, believe me, I'm reaping sickness because I planted that seed and I watered it with my words. And then all day long, as I'm walking along, I'm conscious of the symptoms in my body and I'm watering those seeds. What should you do? As soon as you recognize a symptom of a disease, what should you do? Oh, no, Satan, no, I refuse that. I refuse that. That's not part of my inheritance. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I will not have sickness. I will not have disease. I'm healed by Jesus' stripes. Take your sickness and get out of here. I'm healed by Jesus' stripes. I'm strong. I refuse to be sick. You have to water. See that one thought that he sent you. You have to water it with, oh, no, reject it, rebuke it, refuse it, and water it with your words. Water your health with your words all day long. Let's see, how do I want to say this, God? I want all the good in my life that God can provide for me. Now, I know that I do things that go crosswise of that, and I plant some seeds that I really don't want to reap. But let's just think about, if I want a stronger body, then I have to go work out at the gym or do exercises that will create that strength. And the more I work out, the stronger I get. I'm planting seeds. Every time I go to my aerobics class, every time I go to the gym, every time I go outside and take a walk, I'm planting seeds for a stronger body. Right? Yes, Shannon, you walk a lot. You're planting seeds for a stronger, healthier body. If you want a healthy body, you have to eat healthy. Every time I stick something in my body that's not healthy for me, I'm planting the wrong seed. Everything we do in our daily life is a seed for some kind of harvest that we will reap. If I want a strong mind, then I need to hang out with wise people. I need to hang out with people who know things. I need to read good books. I need to read educational articles, listen to educational podcasts instead of filling my mind with useless stuff on the television, instead of filling my mind with junk. If I plant good seeds in my mind, I'll have a stronger mind. How are you spending your time during the day? Are you planting seeds in your mind that will give you a stronger mind? Are you doing things that will give you a stronger body? Are you thinking things that will bring you the harvest you want? What if I wanted a strong social circle? Then I need to hang out with wise people. I need to hang out with godly people. I need to hang out with people who know more than I do, people who are willing to teach me, and I'll have a stronger social circle. If I want stronger finances, I've got to invest in the kingdom. And I've got to work hard and save diligently and spend wisely, and I'll have a strong financial future. If I want a stronger spiritual life, I have to spend more time with God. I have to read the word, pray, talk to him, listen a whole lot, and do the things that bring me closer to him. Everything you do, if you get up in the morning and you pray, you're planting a seed. If you read the word, you're taking in seeds. Everything you do is going to create a harvest. So as you go through your day, I am encouraging you to be mindful of the harvest you're planting with everything. Now, if I have a crosswise conversation, you know what that means? A crosswise conversation? Okay, it means we are not on the same page. And we could end up in a disagreement. Yep, and so if I'm having a crosswise conversation with someone, I have to be very careful what I say. I have to watch my words. Because I don't want to plant seeds that I don't want to reap. You know, Bishop tells us over and over and over, if you plant an argument, you're going to reap, not an argument, you're going to reap a world of arguments. Those arguments are like those corn cobs. 800 seeds on one bad seed. You'll reap a whole lot of seeds you don't want to harvest. Whenever we start something new, if we think thoughts of success, then we're going to be successful. Those of you who are starting college, those of you who are looking for new jobs, if you speak words of success, if you think success, if you speak words of success, you'll be successful. If you work for that success. If you go into it with the attitude, oh, I know this is going to be too hard for me. I know I can't do this. I know I won't excel. Everybody's smarter than me. I can't do this. Well, then you can't. I'm not sure who it was. It might have been Henry Ford, somebody who said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. So if I think I can, I'm right. If I think I can't, I'll prove myself right. Because we act out according to our expectations. If I expect to succeed, I do things that bring success. I speak words over my life that bring success. I use the scripture that says, everything I set my hand to prospers. So many scriptures in the Bible that you can confess over your life, speak over your life, so that you have good success. How about this? If you smile at somebody on the street, what do you get back? A smile. I mean, I'm sure it failed somewhere along the line, but I can't remember a time when I smiled at someone, and I smile a lot, I get a smile back. No matter how I'm feeling as I'm walking through the parking lot at Publix, I smile at everybody, and I get all those smiles back, and I feel a whole lot better. Recently, I greeted someone walking in the Publix parking lot with a very simple good morning, and I complimented her on something that I noticed about her. I was putting groceries in my trunk. She was walking down with her cart, her buggy. I think you call it a buggy down here. Up north, we call it a cart. I found out in England they call it a trolley. So I was pushing, she was pushing her trolley, and I was loading my cart, and I said, good morning, and complimented her on something. And she said, thank you. And she went on pushing her trolley. And she stopped and she turned around and she said, you have no idea how much I needed that. You have no idea what that means to me today. And she's right. I had no idea. There's no way I could have any idea. But God did. And he prompted that, and I planted a seed that will blossom in her life, and I planted a seed that will harvest in my life. There is nothing that you do in your day as you go along that is not planting a seed for something good or bad. If we were more mindful that on every minute of our life, we're probably planting a seed with a thought. I mean, I was thinking something today, and I'm like, no, 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 stop. That's not my thought. No, I refuse that in the name of Jesus. Just, you know, you're sitting there quietly, kind of at peace, and the devil comes and, yeah, yeah. No, if you feed that thought, it's going to grow like that corn stalk. Before very long, you'll have 3,200 thoughts along that same line that you don't want. Being mindful. right, let me see where we want to go from here. God, where do we want to go from here? Oh, I know. I wanted to tell you another story. When I served as a greeter at the church I came from, which was a very large church, the sanctuary had five entrances. And so greeters were stationed at each entrance to greet people as they came through. And I always greeted people with a smile and a hug if I felt they would be receptive to it. Most people were. And a lady came up to me after she had been there for 3 or 4 months, and she said, "You have no idea that the hug that you gave me the first day I came here saved my life." Yeah, well, God knows. But that was a seed that I planted in her life. It was a seed I planted in my own life. Because everything you do, everything you say, everything you think, every action or reaction is planting a seed. We're more mindful, I think, of what we're planting for others than we are of what we're planting in our own life. But every seed will reap a harvest. So, I just really want us to be more mindful. What you do or what you say to other people is an event in their life. But for you, it's always a harvest. So, I think we're headed for our first scripture. Yeah, let's go to our first scripture. The most marvelous example of planting a seed and reaping a harvest that I know of occurred in the life of Jesus when he faced the cross. He sowed his life as a seed to harvest all of us. Do you understand that? He gave up his life. He planted his life as a seed to harvest all of us. He says, "I could have called legions of angels to deliver me, but I did not do that." Do you not know I could call legions of angels? But he didn't do that. That agonizing night in Gethsemane, that was all about him choosing to give up his life in favor of the harvest it would produce. Hebrews even says he faced the cross for the joy that was set before him. What was the joy? It was the joy of the harvest, the joy of having us. So, John 12:24, Jesus spoke these words to two of his disciples a few days before he went to the cross. And I know they did not get it. He said, "Truly, truly, 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 you know, without any doubt, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone." And that's true. They find seeds. I just read recently about a seed that they found that was several centuries B.C., sealed in a jar, and they planted it. And it produced the tree. But unless it falls in the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. How much did Jesus' death bear in terms of fruit? I mean, we can't even calculate it. Every person who has ever come to faith in Jesus was the harvest from him falling into the ground and dying. If it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. What was he saying there? He was asking, are you willing to fall into the ground and die for the benefit of others? I'm asking you that question. You need to ask yourself, am I willing to give up my rights? Am I willing to give up my preferences, my opinions, my desire to say something that wouldn't be productive? Am I willing to do that so someone else can see Jesus? whoever loves his life, in other words, if in this life I love to have my own way, I love to say my own opinion, like Bishop talks when they come for counseling, they're really coming for agreement. If all I'm looking for in this life is to tell you what I think and see you agree with me, if I love my life, I'm going to lose it. What does that mean? It means I'm not walking God's way on this earth. And if I'm not walking God's way on this earth, I'm not going to spend eternity with him in heaven. Whoever hates his life in this world, and I think you can relate to hates your life if I put it this way for you. Have you ever done something that was, you know, was so wrong and you were so regretful? You just hated to wake up and think about it because you had done something that you in your heart hated. Whoever hates his life, whoever gives up his own preferences, his own will, his own desires, his own rights, his own opinions, will keep it. In other words, if I am willing to fall into the ground and die, if I am willing to put my pride aside, if I'm willing to, what they say, take low, if I am willing to allow other people to have their way, I will keep my life for eternal life. Why? Again, for the same reason. Because if I am walking the path that Christ walked, and he said, whoever falls into the ground and dies, whoever gives up his own rights, will bear much fruit. Do you want to bear much fruit? Do you want a lot of people, when you get to heaven, there that you recognize you impacted their life? That for one, in one way or another, you are responsible for the fact that they are there? Are you willing to say, I'm sorry to someone even when you don't think you had anything to be sorry for? Just so that they can see Jesus? I remember years ago, I don't even know how many years ago, but we lived in Eau Claire and our kids were quite small. Something happened between Larry and I so long ago, I don't remember what happened. But whatever it was, I was angry. I didn't feel like I deserved what happened. So I went upstairs, closed the bedroom door, and sat in the bedroom and pouted. Anybody done that? I've gone pout in my bedroom. And I'm sitting there, and God says, go tell Larry you're sorry. Ha! I'm not sorry. I ain't got nothing to be sorry for. He's the one that needs to come up and say he's sorry. Ah, no. I argued with God. I'm really good at arguing when I think I'm right, you know. And I sat there. And then God showed me all of the torture, all of the abuse, the suffering, the death that Jesus willingly submitted to so that I could live. And after he showed me that, I'm like, okay. He said, can you go tell him you're sorry now? I said, yeah, I can go tell him I'm sorry now. And I went down and I apologized to him. And so there was peace in the house. That's all I can say. Doing what God says will bring peace. And Jesus wasn't guilty of anything. Yet he took all the guilt, all the punishment, all the shame. He took responsibility for every wrong so that we could see the love of God. So the question that Jesus is asking us, will you fall in the ground and die? Are you willing to lose your earthly preferences, your flesh, so that others can see Jesus? Because that is the purpose of it. When I graduated from the Dale Carnegie course, instructor training course, which was also a few days ago, my first teaching assignment, I'll call it, was to take over a class that another instructor had decided to quit. She had taught the first four sessions, and it's a 14-week class, and before session five, she decided she was going to quit. So I was asked to take over that class and teach it, which I did. And I loved it. I was having so much fun teaching. I was doing a good job. I was creating relationships with the people in the class. It was just wonderful. And then, see, at session 9, I was told she wanted her class back. Now, session 5, where she bowed out, is the most difficult class to teach in the course. It's a very challenging class to teach, and it's very challenging for the class members. 6, 7, and 8 are also difficult. At 9, the class starts going back down to what you might call a normal level. And so I didn't want to give the class back to her. And I was told, you do not have to. You have a choice. She'd like her class back. You can give it back to her or not. And I didn't want to relinquish the class because I was enjoying it. I also felt like I had been used. And so I sought the advice of what was to me a very wise person at the time. And she is, and she was. And she said, Donna, what you have to decide is which is more important. For you to finish out the class because you love it and enjoy it and you'll do it well. Or that you give her a chance to restore her confidence and possibly become a great instructor. She said to me, you will always be an excellent instructor. You will always have classes to teach. Her future hangs in the balance right now. You could consider inviting her to teach the class with you. She could potentially learn a lot from you, and you would be in a position to make sure that she had a good learning experience. Okay. And that would restore her confidence. So the real question, this is what she said to me. Her name is Diane Pick. She said, the real question, Donna, is how much do you love Roseanne? God, that woman was Jesus talking to me. Will you give up your rights to benefit her? That's what she was asking me. And I did. And she had a good experience. We had a good experience together. And she went on to teach many classes. Let's do one more. In Matthew 13, Jesus is telling a series of parables, and he uses this illustration. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who planted good seed in his field. But while the people were asleep, the enemy planted weeds in the wheat field and went away. The owner's workers, wait, we got to go back. When the wheat came up and formed kernels, weeds appeared. And the owner's workers came to him and asked, sir, didn't you plant good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from? And he told them, an enemy has done this. I have always loved that sentence because that's what happens in your life. While you are asleep, see, you have a field. It's your heart. Your heart is your field or your garden. It's the place where you plant what you will harvest for time and for eternity. And I believe you do your best to plant good seed. You endeavor to live a God-pleasing life. You try to do the right things, say the right things, think godly things. Be like Jesus. But while you're asleep at the wheel, while I'm asleep at the wheel, while we're not paying attention to what we're doing, while we're careless, insisting on our own way, seeking our own rights, while we're taking offense at something or making a harsh remark to someone. You've ever done that? Oh, yeah, that one. Or passing judgment on someone. Satan comes. He takes advantage in your carelessness, and he causes you to sow things into your field that you don't want. While the people were asleep, while you're not paying attention. So the next verse, 1 Peter 5:8, we're going to do this one and close with this, says stay alert. We only need, really only need to read those two words. Stop sleeping at the wheel. Stop thinking that things that happen in your daily life are little or nothing. That every one of them is a seed. Every one of them is important. Be alert to what you're planting. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion. He's got his eye on you. He's had his eye on you. He's been waiting for just the right minute. Oh, she's sleeping. Oh, she's thinking about herself. He's looking for someone to devour. And he found you. So, you know, we need to stay alert. We need to be aware of what we're doing. Think about what you're planting. Everything you think, as I said, every thought, every word, every action, activity, reaction, everything you do from the moment you wake up till the moment you fall asleep, you are planting some kind of seed in your life. Are you planting the seeds you will want to harvest? Are you planting seeds of forgiveness? Are you planting seeds of love? Are you planting seeds of kindness and goodness? All those in the fruit of the Spirit, are you planting seeds of joy? Are you planting seeds of peace? Are you planting seeds that reflect the character of Christ? Seeds that will allow people to see Jesus. Jesus died so that we could see the love of God. Are you willing to die daily? Bishop talks about going to funerals every day. Are you willing to die daily so that people can see Jesus? Amen. Father, we love you. We are so grateful for the way you set up the kingdom. It functions on the principle of planting and harvesting. Make us more aware, Daddy, of what we're planting day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. Make us more aware of the seeds we're planting and of the harvest we will reap. Make us willing, Daddy, to fall into the ground and die like Jesus did so that other people can see your love, so that other people can see Jesus. Amen.